The buzzer after hours. Who says nothing good happens after 2 a.m.? Music, stories, just dropped releases. The after party, dates from hell. Nothing is taboo. Join us Wednesdays, after hours.
Hey y'all, Shay here, the buzzer after hours. Welcome, episode 12. Tonight, we celebrate women in rock. Looking back at rock history, women have been a part of it as long as men have. They named Viola Smith of the Cowcats America's fastest girl drummer in 1939. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recognized Rosetta Tharpe as being responsible for the careers of Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash. And then there was Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse, Joan Jett, and many other talented female artists. Women put out incredible music year after year. Tonight, I am introducing you to three up-and-coming talented women in rock. Gemma Dee, lead vocalist of the band The Banquets, out of Leeds, United Kingdom, and Emma Dark, founder of the alternative rock band Dark, and Amanda Pager, lead vocals for the Los Angeles duo Mike and Mandy. Enjoy the night. First up, the Banquets single Black Mirrors, releasing May 7th. Rock, blues, and pop band The Banquets hail from Leeds, United Kingdom. After we listen to the track, we're going to have Gemma Dee, who is vocals, and Leon Russell Hills, the guitarist for the band, on for a chat today. It's an incredible track, so let's spin it now.
Dream of life when I'm not a black man.
a great track. I loved having the Banquets on the show. The Buzzer Indie featured the Banquets this week. So check out the Tuesday show and learn more about this incredible band at thebuzzerpod.com. So today we have the great band, The Banquets, and we have Gemma and Leon on today introducing the track we just heard. They're going to talk about Black Mirrors, and great track, guys. Love it.
Thank you.
Okay, tell us about it.
So it's called Black Mirrors. The idea behind Black Mirrors stems from, I don't know if anybody's seen it, you probably have, Charlie Brooker's series called Black Mirrors. So essentially, I feel like you need to understand the concept of Black Mirrors before you understand the song. When you turn your phone off or any device, whether that be a laptop, computer, TV, it goes black, but you can still see your reflection. That's essentially a black mirror. And the song is ultimately about devices and how much they take away from us. The video, I must say, though, we have an accompanying music video, which is absolutely insane. So as much as I love the song, you must watch the video, which will be available on YouTube as well.
And this track comes out tomorrow.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Alongside the video.
And the video will come out the same day?
Yep, the video will be out there as well.
Everything gets released the same day. Yeah.
Great. That's very exciting. Very exciting. I love the metaphor of the Black Mirror. And although I'm looking at my screen now and going, oh, yeah.
That is? I know. That's why
I never even thought, because you guys know from the former podcast that I don't watch TV. So I never really thought about that.
Honestly, cool. Shay, I'm so pretty excited. Cool. I'm so excited about the music video being released. It's honestly a piece of art. You could put the concept in the Tate Gallery or some kind of art exhibition. It's amazing.
Yeah, when we was filming it looked like an art. It looked like something that belonged in modern art. We filmed us on a green screen, and then we've got old TVs, and the TVs are suspended on chains and on pieces of wood, and then the TVs replace our heads. So it's sort of our heads are inside the TV
and
screen,
we're behind the
and then we're all there performing behind them. And it's really good effect. It looks clever.
And was that produced by the same media group of the other two videos, or did you self-produce?
No, it's the same. No, we've fallen in love with them. We're inseparable now.
Awesome. I look forward to that. Well, thank you for dropping in on the After Hours show. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having
on
us. Yes.
The podcast network. Yeah. It's great having you guys on, and it's an incredible release. So it's great. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Really, really appreciate it, Shay. Okay, been a pleasure.
And now joining the show is Emma Dark out of Los Angeles, California. Today we discuss her motivation to form Dark, a female-fronted band, and her latest songs inspired by the children's poem, The Spider and the Fly. Hi, Emma. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, it's really great. Thank you for coming on the show to share your music. And we're here to talk about two of your tracks, Be Still and Spider and the Fly, which has just been released. So you must be very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like these are some of the first songs that I've ever released. So that's very exciting.
Yeah. So how did you get into music? From what I've read, you started very young.
Yes. So when I was 13 or a little before 13, I was writing a lot of poetry and kind of making up melodies in my head. But when I was 13, then I started taking a guitar class to learn like my first few chords. And then once I learned those chords, I just kind of took off with it.
When you first started in rock, Were you surprised that you were the only female rock artist in a class of 30 males?
Oh, yes. Yeah, a lot of girls. And, you know, I have nothing against, like, pop or country or anything. But, yeah, it was a little bit surprising, I guess.
Did it motivate you?
Yeah, for sure. I think I really like... I mean, I just really love the rock genre, and I really love, especially... the rock genre with female vocals, and so it's just something that I'm very passionate about.
The two songs that we're talking about right now were based on a favorite poem, The Spider and the Fly, from your childhood.
Yes.
What motivated you to do that? How significant was that poem to your childhood?
So... when I was 7, and this was back when I was in public school because now I homeschool, public school was, like, really, really hard for me as a kid with ADHD. So every week, my teacher, she would take us to this, like, little library, and I would pick that book, like, every single week. And it was just, and still is, my favorite book and poem of all time. And so then when I turned 13 and started playing guitar, I wrote a song called Cotton Webs, which is about being caught in a web of lies. And that had reminded me of that book. So it just kind of took off from there.
It was pretty cool subject matter. I thought it was great. It's an incredible children's poem.
Yes.
An incredible children's poem. So when did you write this music?
So I started writing The Spider and the Fly when I was 13. I think it was like the third song that I had ever written on guitar, but I had written like several variations of it throughout the years. And then when I met Dylan Brown in my college class, he's a phenomenal guitarist, and he just really brought the song to life. And so then I decided that that would be what I release.
Is he involved with both tracks that we're featuring tonight?
Yes, he is.
That's awesome. Does music come natural to you? Was it around you when you were growing up?
Yes, I think I've always been really musical. Like, when I was little, I used to take, like, glass cups and, like, fill them up with different levels of water, and then I would tap on them and, like, make songs with that. I also used to play the recorder. I used to play piano and sing and do choir and stuff. And then eventually, when I got a little bit older, I had started listening to My Chemical Romance and Oasis, and then that's when I decided that I really liked the alternative rock scene.
Were you influenced by Joan Jett, Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, I think that those are really great artists. I also love Amy Lee from The Evanescence. I really love Dolores from The Cranberries. I also love, there's a singer named Aurora. She's like an alternative folkish artist that I really like. And then other rock bands, like I just mentioned, like My Chemical Romance, Oasis, Pink Floyd.
I'm very impressed with the sound. I'm very impressed with it.
Thank you.
You're putting out great music. So we're going to be listening to Be Still, that's coming up. It's very gritty and dark.
Yes.
Yeah, it captured the feeling of being trapped, but trying to keep yourself together. Yeah, I really love that. It's very guitar rich.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that song?
Yeah, so that song, I actually wrote that one not too long ago. I think I wrote it sometime mid-2020, actually. And so it's not near as old as The Spider and the Fly. However, it is very much connected to The Spider and the Fly, because Whereas in The Spider and the Fly, it's about the spider luring in Miss Fly. This is where she's already stuck in the web and she's like, she has an awareness of it.
And this is your second song. Your first or the debut song was Dinner Time, right? Yes.
Yeah.
So this song, BCL, was released in March of this year. And Dinner Time was released when?
Early February.
This upcoming EP is going to release when?
Oh, I'm not 100% sure, as we're working on a fourth song called Dark. But whenever we have that finished, then we'll start getting together the EP.
Okay, so maybe out before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Next up, we're going to listen to Be Still, released March 12th of this year.
Yeah.
I really love the way you go to simple yet incredible children's work, The Spider and the Fly, and created a series of songs around it. Like, yeah. you really captured the essence of song, of the poem.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment.
So is this these songs were written by you and performed by your band The Dark that you formed?
Yes. So Dylan, he did a lot of the lead guitar and rhythm guitar, and I did some acoustic. However, I'll be playing more rhythm when it comes to live performances. And mm-hmm. then my drummer, he didn't have a way to record in the quarantine. However, he will be performing with us and recording with us in the future.
When you were growing up, part of your experience was you didn't fit in, so you became homeschooled?
Yeah, so I had...
And that...
Mm-hmm. No, wait, go on, it's okay.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, in second grade, and even first grade and before that, you know, being in public school, it wasn't for me. And I think I always just had a really strong drive to always be creating and making music and doing art, that I was getting really tired and I just mentally wasn't doing well. So that's when my mom decided to homeschool me.
And what was that experience like? Do you credit that with learning guitar?
Yeah, sort of, because the program that I was going to was a homeschool program, so, and I would not have had the time if I weren't homeschooling to learn guitar. I mean, because I would just spend hours and hours and hours on it. So homeschooling has really given me the time to do everything that I really want to do.
And what attracts you to rock?
I think it's energy and it's a vibe. I think that's what really attracted me to it. Also, when I first started getting into rock, I was only listening to like whatever my friends were listening to. So at the time it was like a lot of like Christian music or pop music or whatever. That when I heard My Chemical Romance for the first time, like, it was like nothing I had ever heard before. It sounds dramatic, but like it flipped my world upside down. Like, I felt like a new person.
It does to a lot of people. But your rock isn't classic, and it has some subgenres in it.
Yes.
A lot of grunge and pop punk.
Yeah.
And what influenced you to create that in your music?
I'm not really sure. I think, you know, writing Be Still especially, I knew that I wanted it to have a lot of grit because of what I was talking about. So I think, like, the meaning of the songs is what drove me to go with that genre. However, I have, like, other genres and other songs as well. So, yeah.
So a lot of the songs form not only around the poem. There's a constant about the need to for control.
Yeah.
Is that because of the experience that you had growing up?
Yeah. Growing up, you know, being homeschooled, a lot of other homeschoolers are very religious. So being in the
room. Really?
Yes, because I think it's because they don't like putting their kids in like a government-based place, like public school or something. So a lot of the programs that I went to were very religious. And I just experienced a lot of that control aspect, like me not being able to wear what I wanted to wear or whatever, being like judged for the things that I liked. because it was seen as dangerous.
And was that where you lived in California?
Yes.
Well, it's good that you had that outlet.
Yeah.
Do you credit your parents for that?
Yeah, for sure. I think my mom, she's always been like my cheerleader. Like, no matter what I write, she's like always going to love it and she's always going to support me. But mm-hmm. my dad is more of like a critic. And so he's always pushed me to be a better songwriter and a better musician. So I really credit them for making me the musician that I am and me being able to use this as an outlet.
Is your father in music?
Well, he helped me record a lot of the stuff, actually, and he was once in a band himself.
In what way? Is he in a band?
When he was younger, he was in a metal band, and he had also, like, invested in a lot of recording stuff when he was younger, and then he just kind of, like, let it go for a while until I started getting into music.
So The Spider and the Fly is entitled, the title is after the poem that you wrote this the series of songs about. I love the start of it. It's the click, click, click. It's almost like the entrapment. Like, it's really, I thought your approach to the music was great. What was the creative process behind this song?
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, it's gone through so many variations. And also, this series of songs, it's based on an entire story that I'm writing, based mm-hmm. off of the poem. I mean, it's kind of like formed into this whole another world with all these different characters and stuff. So I would say that this version of The Spider and the Fly really represents what I'm going for in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also, as far as the creative process, I was working with Dylan Brown over the quarantine, and he was just such a huge help because it didn't require, like, I would have thought that, like, trying to record a song not mm-hmm. in the same place would have been so difficult, but he just made my job, like, a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. And all these songs were produced in a home studio?
Yeah. A home studio that my dad built, actually.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. It's like foam boards that are like all connected into these walls, and it makes like a little booth that we set up in our living room.
Your constant theme is about fear and control.
Yeah.
How did the pandemic affect you as an artist?
Well, I would say that it's been both good and bad in some ways. I think that being in the pandemic has given me a lot of downtime to write music and to release these songs and to get the artwork done. And so it's been really great in a lot of ways. Also, though, being in the pandemic has also been really hard for me. Just because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm stuck in the house, and that has had an effect on my mental health. And I even went through a period where it was really hard to write because I was just not doing well because of the pandemic. But thankfully, mm-hmm. I'm getting back into practice with the band, and so kind of getting back to my normal life.
Did you anticipate performing and on tour soon, or is it something that's not on your plate yet?
Yeah, it's not really, we're not really there yet, but however, we are gonna plan to do a virtual concert
mm-hmm.
and other live concerts probably later this year.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I know we're signed up for the cruisin' reunion in, it's in LA, or where is it? I forget where it is, but yeah, so we have a few live shows coming up, and the virtual concert is probably going to be sometime in May or June, I think.
And are you putting it on personally, or is it done by an organization?
It's done by Rock Stars of Tomorrow. However, I'll probably post it to my YouTube channel as well.
I look forward to watching that.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to Spider and the Fly next. It was released recently, April 23rd of this year. So what's next for you, Emma?
So I'm writing new material and getting back with the band. And so I think what's next is to like record an EP and start getting out and doing shows.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So tell us a bit about the band that you started.
Yeah, so let's see. I started going to Rockstars actually as a solo artist. And I was trying to record The Spider and the Fly. This was like with a past version of it though. And then I met the bassist, or our old bassist. She's not in the band anymore, but I met her in one of the programs for Rockstars of Tomorrow. It was like a bandcore thing where they, just like a bunch of teens get together and play. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I wanted to make a band, so me and her started it. And then Owen, our drummer, he jumped in. And then I went to college and I found Dylan. And with Dylan, actually, I was really looking for something very specific in a lead guitarist. And like the moment that I heard Dylan play, I was like, yep, that's it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I asked him to join and to check out our band. And that's when we started working together. And yeah, he's really done a lot for the music.
You mentioned that you complement each other's styles.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And how is that?
Yeah, so Dylan, he has like that My Chemical Romance-y kind mm-hmm. of like hard rock guitar vibes. And then with me, like I said earlier, I just really love female vocals on rock music. So I think that's kind of like also me being like the main songwriter and him being so good at writing leads and stuff. I just think like we write really good music together.
That's great. So you're a three-piece band.
Yeah, we're looking for a bassist.
Are you looking for a drummer?
No, we have Owen, so.
I'm very impressed. I read your bio, and you really have, I wouldn't say attitude, it just had a lot of strength that you, from your bad experiences, whether it's homeschooling or college or whatever, you created something very beautiful out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be proud of yourself for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there something about the industry that you could change as a young indie artist? What would that be?
To let women like take like higher positions. Like I just noticed that there's not like a lot of women producers and not a lot of women in the music industry in general. Mm-hmm. So I would really
You're right about people. That. But why do you think that is?
I'm not really sure. I think a lot of, maybe just like a lot of women like to do like lead vocals or just like other genres. I don't know, but.
Well, it really doesn't matter what the everybody else doing. There are quite a few women in the alternative rock space, but in terms of the numbers as a whole, you're right. There's a lack of it. I think there should be more.
Yeah.
The success of Joan Jett and Linda Ronstadt and Amy Winehouse and Cranberries and a lot of other bands.
Yeah, I think what else I would like to change too is that I feel like a lot of people feel like they need to like have a really pretty face and put it all over social media and be like this social media influencer. And I think another way I would like to change the industry is to be like, you don't have to do any of that. Like, just write good music. Like, I just feel like trying to be like a not an Instagram model, but like a social media influencer. I feel like sometimes it's just like a way, not just to promote yourself, but it's a way of, what am I trying to say right now? I think it gets in the way of being like a real artist, mm-hmm. in a sense. Like, I don't know, it just comes off kind of fake to me.
So what sets your music apart from other bands? It's not that you're female. That's not why you're on the show. Yeah. Although the show is about women in rock in general, and that's one of the reasons why I contacted you. What do you think your music is different, and why?
Yeah, I do think it's different. I think, you know, sort of like maybe like the Cranberries, our music, even though it's rock, it's not just about the energy or whatever.
Yeah.
It's also very melodic as well, and I think that sets us apart. Also, the concept as well, I think, sets us apart from a lot of other bands.
No, I agree with you. It's rock. It has a bit of punk, but it's not really punk. It's a bit of grunge, but it's not really grunge. It's right. A big bag of rock genres. It's incredible stuff that you're putting out. Thank you so much for spending your time to come on the show. I really appreciate that. Where is best to follow you?
You can follow me at itsybitsy_me on Instagram. Emma Dark on YouTube. What else do I have? Emma Dark on Spotify.
And on Instagram, you are at itsybitsy_me.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It fits with the whole thing.
Yeah, Itsy Bitsy is actually another song that I have too. So...
Oh, it was good. Will it be part of the upcoming EP?
I think it probably will be, and it is also connected to The Spider and the Fly.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. That's why I thought it was really cool. Really, I thought it was great. Well, I'm very impressed with your talent. I love the music that you have brought to us, The Spider and the Fly, and Be Still, and your debut, Dinner Time. You're on the right path, and I look forward to listening to the EP that's coming out at some point this year. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Emma.
Yeah, it's been really great.
I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
The last track of the night is Ash Rain by Mike and Mandy. It was released in April of this year. The track is an aggressive hard rock original single reminiscent of the 80s.
stay out of reach. Affection that's a vain. Can't laugh at your joke. You just provoke. Can I kick his head? You're along the way. What another speech? Breathe and repeat promises you've made. Look to Elias. Can't you admit that you masquerade? You're
Mike and Mandy are producer-writer husband, Michael Faulkner, and singer-songwriter Amanda Pager, based in Los Angeles, California. Closing tonight, a quote from Frank Zappa. Without music to decorate it, time is just a bunch of boring production deadlines or dates by which bills must be paid. Touché. And that brings us to the end of the night. Thank you for tuning in. And a huge thank you to the artists on tonight's show. When the show goes silent, take a minute to reflect on the messages told by these incredible artists tonight through the power of music. Without music, our canvas is blank. Night all. Cheers. Well, that's a wrap for tonight. Episodes run every Wednesday. Who shows up or what we talk about, who knows right now. Live on the edge. Just tune in and enjoy. See you next Wednesday. From my pad to yours, After Hours. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.